I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad to be with you. I encourage you to get your Bible and to search the Scriptures along with me. With the new year just around the bend, we've reached that time when a lot of people are making some resolutions. Maybe you've been making some. I expect probably the most popular New Year's resolution is when folks resolve to lose some weight. Maybe that's one of yours. It's a good time for us to resolve to do some things of a spiritual nature. And thus I've come to talk to you about that expression written on the board, I am resolved. The Lord told a little story about that in the book of Luke chapter 16 when he told the parable of a steward. How there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods, and he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? That's a good question, isn't it? You might contemplate that a little bit. What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship, I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. Now watch verse 4. I am resolved what to do. You might like to underscore those words. I am resolved what to do. As you think about that word resolved, it simply means firmly determined to do. Sometimes we don't do some things that we ought to do because we're not resolved. That is, we're not firmly determined. Maybe we've decided, I'm going to do this, but we don't get around to doing it because our resolve wasn't firm enough. In order to get some things accomplished, we've got to be resolved. We've got to have a firm determination that we're going to do it. And generally, whatever it is that we're resolved to do, that we're firmly determined to do, we find a way of doing that, don't we? That is, for example, if I'm resolved, if I'm firmly determined that I'm going to go fishing, I'll find a way to go fish, right? If I'm resolved to go visit somebody, if that's my firm determination, I'll go do that, won't I? And sometimes we don't do some things maybe because we just are not resolved. May I point out some things that we may resolve to do of a spiritual nature? Some things that you might say, I'm resolved. And fill in the rest of that. First of all, let me suggest to you that if you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you've not yet become a Christian, you might say, I am resolved to be a Christian. I'd like to encourage you that if you've not yet obeyed the gospel, to let that be your resolve, to be firmly determined that I'm going to be a Christian. I can't think of any better way to start out a new year than by being a new creature. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, the disciples were called Christians, first at Antioch. In Acts 26 and 28, we read where Paul had a conversation with Agrippa, the king. And Agrippa said, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I'd like to persuade you today to be a Christian. In 1 Peter 4 and in verse 16, Peter said, If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You become a Christian today the same way that folks were made Christians in Bible days. As you hear the gospel, believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, that is, you quit sinning, you quit doing those things that are displeasing to God, and do what's right in the sight of God. Confess with your mouth before men I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and are baptized into Christ and His body. When you do that, you become a Christian. If you're not a Christian, why don't you resolve to be? You can be. Would you make it your firm determination that as I start out this new year, I'm going to do that by being a Christian, by being a child of God? But let me suggest to you something else. As you think about I am resolved, you might say, I am resolved to be restored. There may be those who at one time have become Christians, but have become unfaithful, who've fallen away. It may be that you've been overtaken in a fault, as Paul described in Galatians 6 and verse 1, saying, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." If I have been overtaken in a fault, I need to be restored. It may be that I've left the truth. I've gone astray. James described in James 5:19, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth," it's possible for any brother, any sister to go astray. And in those cases, such an one needs to be converted, needs to be restored, that his soul be saved from death and his sins hidden. Whenever a person has succumbed to that, he, in the words of Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 4, has fallen from grace. In Acts the 8th chapter, we read where Simon of Samaria had heard the truth. And the Bible says in verse 13, he believed, and when he was baptized, after he believed and was baptized, he was found in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. He was told in verse 21, "Thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Here's a man who needed to be restored. And he's told what to do, that he might be restored. In verse 22, look at it. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." What did he need to do to be restored? He needed to repent of his wrongdoing and pray to God about that. And God will restore him. If I've not been living right as a Christian, if I've not been faithful as a child of God, it needs to be my firm determination, my resolve. I'm going to be restored. Why not start out the new year as one who perhaps has fallen away, that's not been faithful, that's not been fully alive to your spiritual responsibilities before God, to say, "I'm going to be restored. I want to be brought back to God's favor and His blessings." I'll tell you another determination you might like to make when you think about I am resolved. And that is, I am resolved to be at every service. Why would a person want to resolve to be at all the services of the Lord's church? Well, one reason he might make that his resolve is because the Lord wants me to be here. You know, in the book of Hebrews 10 and in verse 25, it is recorded, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." And so I resolve to be at the services because the Lord wants me to be. I resolve to be at all the services because the Lord will be there. You remember the Lord said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name," what's the rest of that? "There am I in the midst of them." I want to be where the Lord is, don't you? And so I'm resolved to be at every service. I'm resolved to be at every service because I want to be. You know, the good attitude of the psalmist when he said in Psalm 122 and verse 1, "I was glad when they said unto me," what did they say to you? "Let us go into the house of the Lord." He had a good disposition about that. He was glad to do that. I'm resolved to be at all the services in order to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3, and in verse 18. You might like to start the new year out that way, with that kind of resolve, as we start some new Bible classes. There'll be classes for all ages, starting Wednesday night, as we resume in the adult study our survey of the Bible and take up, the Lord willing, Wednesday night, the book of Matthew. And then that next Sunday, the book of Mark. And if you miss just one, you miss a lot, don't you? And so why not resolve today that I'm going to be at every service so that I can grow in the Lord's grace? I'll tell you another area in which you might want to make some resolve. And that is, you might say, I'm resolved to read my Bible daily. With the new year before us, it's a good time to start a daily Bible reading program. Not just to be able to say at the end of the year, I read the Bible in a year, but recognizing the great value that comes to those who read and study the will of God. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, you remember reading about those in Berea and the compliment that was paid to them? They were said to be a people that were noble. More noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? The Bible says, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. How often did they do that? Daily. You might circle that word. Daily. They were searching the scriptures to find out whether or not the things that Paul was saying were so. We need to do that today, don't we? It's not that they just looked into it once a month or once a week, but daily. Why would I resolve to read my Bible every day? Well, I might do that in order that I might know. You know, ignorance is not bliss. There's no excuse for my not knowing. And contrary to what people say, that what you don't know won't hurt you, a lot of people have been deceived along that line. I need to know, and the Lord puts responsibility upon me to be in the know when He said in John 8 and verse 32, and ye shall know the truth. God will have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. How am I going to know if I don't read? If I don't study? You go to school and your teacher wants you to know some history. They give you some reading to do in a history book, right? It's hard to know if you don't read. And this is the greatest history in all the world. I need to know that I might be saved. That's another reason I'm resolved to read and to study the Bible every day, is to help myself keep from being led astray. When I don't know, I can so easily be deceived. And there are a lot of people out here that are deceivers, that are at work to try to lead you astray, make you believe some things that just are not true. In Acts 20 and in verse 30, Paul warned of men that would arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And if I don't know, if I've not read, if I've not studied, if I've not been educated in the Bible, the Word of God, I can be vulnerable prey. I can so easily be led astray, can't I? And so I'm resolved to read that I not be led astray by some false teacher. But also, I'm resolved to read my Bible that I might grow. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2, Peter said, as newborn babes desire what? The sincere milk of the Word. Why? that ye may grow thereby. God wants me to grow. He wants me to be strong. How can I be the growing, strong child of God that He wants me to be if I'm not reading? I don't know of any better thing to read than this book, do you? It's the only book that tells me where I came from. How that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Genesis 2:7. It's the only book that tells me why I'm here, what my purpose in life is. And it's easy to get sidetracked and distracted. There are a lot of distractions in this life, aren't there? Riches and cares and pleasures. But what's my purpose here? What's it all about? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. Ecclesiastes 12:13. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Verse 14 of Ecclesiastes 12. And so my purpose basically is to fear God. That is to respect Him, to reverence Him, and to do the things that He'd had me to do. Keep His commandments. And to prepare for a judgment to come. And if I go through life and do this and that, and I leave all of that undone, I'll have missed what life was really all about. I'll have lived my life without purpose. Not only does it tell me why I'm here and where I came from, but tells me where I'm going when it's all over with. Where am I going? What's the end? What's after this life? Is there anything after this world? There is. There's a place called heaven, a place of eternal happiness and bliss. And then there's a place that's referred to as hellfire. That is a place of eternal misery and torment. Jesus talked about that. He pictured the judgment of Matthew 25. He portrayed that as a shepherd dividing sheep from the goats. Those on the right hand represented the faithful, the Lord's people. Who'll hear Him say, "Come thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, to go into life everlasting." But then those on the left will hear Him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And there's no putting out the flame. That's eternal. That's world without end. And all of that's decided by how I live right here and now. And so, I want to read my Bible every day because of the great truths that it holds about where I came from, why I'm here, and where I'm going when it's all over with. It'd be sad to know about everything else, wouldn't it? And be ignorant of that which really matters. I'll tell you another thing that we might want to resolve to do. When you think about "I am resolved," it might be your resolve in the new year to pray always. Sometimes we don't pray as often as we should. Maybe it's kind of a last resort. We try everything else, and if those things don't work, well, I guess it wouldn't hurt to pray. We can try that. See if it does any good or not. The Bible teaches the value of prayer. Lots of times, in lots of ways. One of the great places to realize that is in James chapter 5, from one word. In verse 16, that's the word "much." "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That is, it does a lot of good. It does much good. Life's not easy, is it? And we don't know what a day may hold. But God's given us a great way to face things, to deal with things, to cope with things, and that is through prayer, through talking to Him. It's easy to worry, and a lot of people are fretting about all kinds of things. Anxious. Paul said, "Be careful for nothing." That is, don't be overly anxious. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Philippians 4:6. And that's what prayer is, basically. It's letting my requests be made known unto God. And when I'm a Christian, when I've been restored, and I'm dedicated to pleasing God as He'd have me to, I can rest assured that when I pray, He hears my prayer and will grant my request. You know, John talked about that in the book of 1 John in chapter 5. When in verses 14 and 15 he said, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." In Luke 18 and in verse 1, the Lord told a little parable to this end, that men ought always to pray. Remember the three words in 1 Thessalonians 5:17? You can memorize that pretty easily. Pray without ceasing. That is, don't stop praying. The psalmist once said that he'd pray in the morning, he'd pray at noon, and he'd pray in the evening. When you get up of a morning, you might resolve to pray. When you eat your meals, you might resolve to give God thanks for your food. Give us this day our daily bread. As you go to bed at night, you might resolve to pray. Pray for those that are in authority, as Paul said in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, the first three verses, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Pray for your brethren. Pray for the lost. Remember Paul's prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved. I am firmly determined that in this new year, I'm going to pray always. I'm going to be given to prayer. How about another one? Number 6. I am resolved. What's another one we might think about? I'm resolved to win one to the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, in verse 30, the wise man recorded this statement. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Remember the rest of that? And he that winneth souls is wise. We sing a song about that. It's called A Soul Winner for Jesus. A soul winner for Jesus, let me be each day. A soul winner for Jesus. He's done so much for me. I'm resolved that in this new year, I want to win one to the Lord. I want to be like Andrew. Remember him? In John chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. He had just found the truth in Christ. You know what he did? The first thing that he did, upon learning the truth, he found his brother and he brought him to Jesus. Maybe there's somebody in my family that needs to be found and brought to the Lord. Maybe somebody in my neighborhood that needs to be brought to the Lord. Somebody that I work with, somebody I go to school with, who needs to be brought to the Lord. Let's resolve to find one and bring that person to the Lord. And one little thing you might think about that's at our disposal to start is the fact that we've got some little cards that have been printed up that have information about this church. You might get you some of those as they're at the door as you leave in a little box attached to the bulletin board. And as you're out in the community, as you meet up with some people at a restaurant or they're ringing you out at a store, as you come into contact with people, maybe there's a nice day, the weather's a little warmer, neighbors outside, "Hey, I'd like to invite you to come and visit with us. Here's a little card that tells you about the church, where we meet. Come visit with us. Be glad to have you." That's a good starting place, isn't it? You remember the story of the woman of Samaria when she found the Messiah for whom she had been looking. She was so excited about it that she ran into the city and she said, "Come." And that's what this is about, just saying to those in the city, "Come." And when she said, "Come," they came and they believed for the saying of the woman. How can we expect folks to come and to believe if we're not saying, "Come"? And so let's resolve to win someone to the Lord, to set up a Bible study. Let's get together and talk about what this book teaches. When would you like to do that? To plant the seed, the pure, unadulterated seed in the heart of an individual, that it might take root and grow, and Lord willing, God will see fit to give the increase. Another area in which you might say, "I'm resolved," and that is, "I'm resolved to be given to hospitality." That word hospitality literally means love of strangers. And it's always been God's desire that His people be a hospitable people. Like in the Old Testament, they were to show kindness to the stranger, remembering the fact that at one time they were a stranger. And when you come to the New Testament, you find numerous demonstrations of it. You might think, for example, about a good Samaritan. Remember the story when a fellow had been left for dead and this Samaritan takes notice? He sees him. Now, he could have done like the priest of Levi. He could just pass by on the other side without doing anything to help him. But he didn't. He had compassion. That is, he put himself in his place. He felt as if he was the one lying there on the ground. And so he went to him. He bound up his wounds. He put him on his own beast. Took him to an inn. Took care of him. And he told the innkeeper, "Whatever you spend more, when I come, I'll repay thee. Put it on my account." That's hospitality, isn't it? Would I have done that? Or would I have just passed by on the other side? We saw a great example of it in our Bible study this morning, didn't we? Remember the woman that practiced hospitality? Her name Lydia. She's just obeyed the gospel. She was just baptized. And the first thing that we see her doing is practicing hospitality. She said to the men of God, "If you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." Would we have done that? Would we have opened up our home like she did to these gospel preachers? And they were constrained. That is, they were compelled to enter, because in the last part of that chapter, you recall, the Bible says they entered into her house. And so I resolved to be given to hospitality. You know, Peter said in 1 Peter 4:9, "Use hospitality, one to another without grudging." I don't know of any better way to get to know people than to be at home with them, do you? And that's what helps for a church to be close-knit, is when folks are given to hospitality. In fact, one of the qualifications of a bishop or an elder, you know what that is? Given to hospitality and a lover of hospitality. And so you might like to resolve to be given that in this new year. Then one other thing. And there are lots of others that we could talk about. But I am resolved, finally, to go to heaven. That's what it's all about, isn't it? To go to heaven. I want to go to that place that's prepared. In the book of John chapter 14, the Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And I want to go there more than anything in this world. I'm firmly determined that I'm going to heaven and I'm not going to let anybody or anything keep me out. You know, not everybody's going to heaven, unfortunately. Oh, you'd think so. You attend funeral service. Every funeral service I've ever attended, everybody's been preached into heaven, no matter what they did in their life. When I read this book, I realize that not everybody's going. You know, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 21 and in verse 27, as John describes the beautiful abode above, he said, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." And a good question for me now at this time is my name written there? There might be a lot of places where a person's name may be written. But I tell you, the place that really is important is if my name's written there. And my name is written there when I resolve to be a Christian. And I do that. My name's written there when I'm restored. In Revelation 22 and verse 14, the Lord said, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they," who's that? "Those who do His commandments, may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." That's how I am assured my name is written there, that I'm going to heaven when I'm doing His commandments. You might think about some places that may be off limits where you can't go because you don't have right. The door's closed. You don't have right. You don't have authority. You don't have permission to enter. Authorized only. Well, there are those who have right to enter heaven. And then there will be those who won't have the right. I want that right, don't you? And so I'm resolved, that is firmly determined, that I won't go to heaven. And there may be some things that I'm not going to do in this life that I can't be involved in because they would take my eye off the ball. You know, heaven is where the Lord is. He's at the right hand of God in heaven. And one of the keys to running a successful race is you've got to have your eyes in the right direction. And in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, 1 and 2, as we run the race of a Christian, the writer said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." You step up to the plate to hit the ball. You can't hit the ball if you take your eye off the ball. That's one of the first things our coach taught us. Keep your eye on the ball. I was having trouble hitting that thing. He said, "Keep your eye on the ball." As a Christian, I've got to keep my eye on the ball from a spiritual standpoint. I've got to stay focused on heaven. That's what it's all about. And if I miss heaven, I miss all there really is. And so, I want to think with you about the importance of being resolved. And may God help each one of us to make these our resolutions and not let them be like the resolutions that most people make, but they don't keep. Like a person might resolve to lose weight and they don't do it, or they resolve to whatever and they don't do it because it wasn't firm. Let these be our firm determination so that heaven will be our home. If we can assist you this morning in making your life right with God, maybe you're not a Christian, but you'd like to be, you can be. All you got to do is been pointed out. You've heard the word. Do you believe it? That's the question. Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God? Are you willing to repent, make whatever changes you needed to make? Are you willing to say today, "I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God"? Are you willing to be baptized? When you confess before men, "I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God," the Lord will confess you before the Father. And we'll take you this hour and baptize you. And you can be a Christian today. What better way to start out a new year than by being a Christian, by being a new creature? That all of the sins you've committed in the past can be washed away and forgiven and forgotten by the Lord. Maybe you've fallen away, you've not been faithful. Why don't you resolve to be restored? I want to get back on track. I've not been living right. I've not been attending the services as faithfully as I should. I'm going to do better. I admit I've made some mistakes. I've not been doing some things I need to be doing. I want to straighten all that out today. I want to be restored. I'm going to repent of that. And would you pray for me? And we'll pray for you as together we stand and sing. Won't you come?